Good morning, everybody. Afternoon. Yep, afternoon. This has been quite a week. Been quite of an onslaught on the marriage as far as the gay population, the homosexual population getting married all through the week, but. What I'm going to speak about today is very close to my heart. And if anybody's taking, I'm going to call it striving for balance. In 1974, I was thrilled beyond measure to find out that those of us that were previously married might be free to marry again, to be in God's church and find someone that shared the same spiritual principles, the same likes, the same words, the same actions. That freedom did happen and the future was exciting. I didn't want to make the same mistakes as I did in my first marriage. So the leadership structure I focused on were the concepts in 1 Corinthians 11:3, where the man was the head of the home, and Ephesians 5:22, how the wife was to submit to her husband, and in 1 Timothy 5:8, that I was to provide for my household or I would be worse than an unbeliever. I also had the examples of my dad, the military, and the church to back me up in my thinking, and it looked like it was a shoe-in. In October 1975, I was blessed with a wonderful wife. The day Karen and I were married, I went back to our hotel, and we both got on our knees and asked God to bless our marriage. We were so excited about our life, we realized the next morning at breakfast that we forgot to eat dinner that evening. With this leadership process in mind, as the structure that God wanted me to lead my family, I forged on, providing a home and taking charge. From the get-go, I found myself pushing my way on my new family. When I thought I was not being obeyed, I tried to control the outcome of my reasoning through rage and verbal abuse. I did not realize the damage I was causing. I was too involved in wanting my way, thinking God's way was for the wife to trust and do everything I said. My wife, thinking that she was to submit to me, was trying her best to comply. What was the missing link? Have you ever worked under a controlling and micromanaged leader? In 1995, when we were first over in China, our team was under the most controlling and micromanaging leader I have ever seen, which stifled our whole project. It was so bad, upper management had to come over and intervene, with the results of having this person with his family being sent home the next day. How I hated that type of rule. Hello, Carl. Was God trying to show me something? Another area of contention I didn't believe was in Ephesians 5:21, where God says that we were to submit one to another. That meant that I was to submit to my wife. And after all, I was the head and leader of the home, and I thought to myself, well, that'll be a cold day. So, my wife was withdrawing and turning inward and was not the outgoing person I once knew. I would try to cheer her up, but I could see that it was deeper than that. My control was affecting her to the degree that she could not be herself, let alone the authenticity that God wanted from my wife. It wasn't until I was faced with losing my wife that I was to finally wake up and see the dreaded dark side of me. The straw that broke the camel's back. One afternoon in China, we took a cab into the middle of town, and we were led out in this small, let's say it's a walkway, and a small cab came by as we opened the door, close to my wife, and it brushed her, and she lost her footing and grabbed out and said, "Yell and catch me." I reamed her out so loud that it caught the attention of the Chinese around us. It took this action to show me the destructive damage I was doing to the person I loved, and I was horrified on the thought of losing Karen, even though I showed no emotion. I didn't know what to do. I was to see what I hated so much in a controlling leader was exactly what I was doing. I wanted to show God how much I wanted to change, but I knew my trust bucket was zilch with Karen, and I was hoping that it wasn't too late, but how was I to do it? Karen found a counselor that lived by and taught the principles and relationships and sought his advice, and I went as well. I want to share with you with what we found were the missing links. Let's turn to Isaiah 28, 9 to 10. Isaiah 28, 9 to 10. Whom will he teach knowledge? And whom will he make to understand the message? Let's go down to, that's on verse 9. Let's go to 10. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, and here a little, there a little. I would like to turn and read 1 Corinthians 11, 3. This is where I started out. 1 Corinthians 11, 3. I'm going to show what I saw at first, and then I'm going to go a little farther. The head of every man, the head of the woman is the man. That's what I was focusing on. Now, you got to realize that sometimes you take things out of context. This is exactly what I did. It's amazing how you can just look at something and you can just see what you want to see. I mean, believe me, it says here, the head of every man is Christ. And I didn't see that part. I mean, I saw the head of the woman is the man. Now, it's the same verse. How could I have done that? But I did. I am the head of the home, but I also was self-absorbed and I forgot the most important part of my life, God. The first part of 1 Corinthians 11, 3, the head of every man is Christ. How could I have even forgotten that? But I did. I was so self-absorbed, so wanting my own way, so convinced that this was the way to lead, that I forgot the first part of that verse. Well, maybe I didn't forget it. Maybe I didn't want to see it. Second, God wants me to love my wife. God says in Ephesians 5, 25, that I was to love my wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Philippians 2, 7, Christ was a servant full of grace and truth in John 1, 14. My wife was brilliant and had loads of talent. Why wasn't I tapping that love, experience, and talent? Would Christ have treated my wife the way I did? Not in a heartbeat. How did women approach Christ? Christ's example in John 12, 3, it was Mary who took very costly oil and anointed Christ's feet with her hair using the precious oil she kept for the day of his burial. Who was the first to go to the tomb of Christ the next morning after he was crucified? In John 20, it was Mary. Who was the first to meet Christ after his resurrection in the garden? John 20, 16, it was Mary. Excuse me. If Christ's approach was like mine, would Mary have reacted like she did with tears of sorrow? That's what she did for Christ. How many tears of grief did I cause my wife? Christ has a loving approach to entreat as well as teach. He was the living example of Galatians 5:22, the fruits of God's Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and self-control. God was loved and approachable the way I'm striving to be now. We all need to emulate Christ. I have found without the influence and support of my wife, I may still be living by the traditions of our forefathers. God's women have much to offer and help us to have a balanced approach. If I know I am pleasing God, then those same principles will please my spouse, my friends, my parents, and any relationship. If there's a constant uproar in one's relationship, then those godly principles are either being misapplied or misunderstood. I was misapplying them. Remember, precept must be upon precept, and line upon line, here a little and there a little, the whole context. Passover time is much more meaningful since I've come to realize where I was so far off base. Coming into alignment with God is the answer. This produces the peace that passes all understanding. Keep striving, brethren. It takes time for growth. And God has answered our wedding night prayer.